Blog Talk Radio.
When the wind starts to blow and the rain starts to fall from the sky to the ground, Yahweh, listen, can you hear? Can you hear their beautiful song? Way oh, hey oh, hey oh. When the wind starts to blow and the rain starts to fall from the sky to the ground, Yahweh, listen, can you hear? Can you hear their beautiful song? Hey yo, hey yo, hey yo. When the wind starts to blow and the rain starts to fall from the sky to the ground, Yahweh, listen, can you hear? Can you hear their beautiful song? Way oh, hey oh, hey yo. When the wind starts to blow and the rain starts to fall from the sky to the ground, Yahweh, listen, can you hear? Can you hear their beautiful song? Hey yo, hey yo, hey yo.
Welcome, welcome to Crow Voices. This is Viata, and I'm in Orlando, Florida. And I believe we have Peggy, well-known Buffalo, with us tonight. We welcome her back. She's been busy doing the business of Centerpol and Crow Nation Reservation activities. So, Peggy, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you, Viata?
I'm doing well, thank you. It rained today, so I'm resting in a dry place, so I can't complain. How about you? Are you on the road?
Yes, I am, but I'm here in Bozeman at a friend of ours, Donna. I think she was on your radio. Yes, yeah, she was on your radio once, on the show once with massaging and spiritual healing. She's a healer, so we stopped in. She donated some stuff, so we brought the trailer. We're going to park the trailer here, and then we'll go on to Missoula, where I'm going to talk about some of the things I do at the Center Pole. So at a... one of our grantees invited us to meet other grantees, and so I think it'll be okay.
Well, I'm glad that you're on the road spreading the word about what you do, because after my visit there, I have been spreading the word in Florida, Orlando, about what you do. So I think it's very important that the world knows what you're doing. I call your Center Pole a lighthouse because there's so many people who need that place of rest, refuge, strength, and empowerment. So I'm glad you're on the road again. So you'll have to bring us up to date on what you're doing. And I guess you have your guests will say a few words on healing and health for us.
I'm sure she would, yes. Anyway, yeah, she will. I was in North Dakota at the Standing Rock Reservation, where they're having a lot of standoff on saying no to the Dakota Access Pipeline. And so I was there for a week. Giving them support in spiritual healing part of what I do, the prayer. Yeah. So I led a group of women with another lady who was with me. We led them down to the river where they, want to go under with the pipeline, mm-hmm. and praying for the river and the living, underwater for all living things that have to live in clean water.
Right.
So it was just a real, and then also it was good for me to be there at the time because I was also going through a lot of stuff and I needed to focus on something that is much worse of a pain than I was going through. So I went to Standing Rock and just had a very spiritual sort of a lot of visions there. And I camped out in a tent, and it was just really nice laying, at night on the ground and listening to all the talking that was going on outside, And then listening to the night and just seeing the stars. And it was just such a beautiful place. And how they were digging up a burial site, a sacred site, right, a few miles from where we were camping, was such a disturbance. It was like no one cares anymore. No one has, especially Native people, no one ever, were sort of pushed around so much that even our ancestors were digging up like they were nothing, like they were cast aside, like rocks and dirt, and with no kind of meaning, with a lot of equipment. I mean, you know, big, large trucks, equipment, and it was really disturbing to hear, especially the people there who belong to this land, who have lived there. Their ancestors have lived there for many, many years. And then here they are, a company, multi-billionaire company. It was going to dig them right up and put that pipe in and drain the oil through. And it was just an awful, awful, helpless sort of feeling. So all we did was pray, and all we did was ask the Creator to assist us, to help us out in this time of the time we're going through. And all the Native people across the country are faced with these issues with mining and, you know, all this stuff they're doing to Mother Earth. And one of the interesting things was we did a rally or whatever, a protest right in front of the lawyers' office. And when we were in front of the lawyers' office, they refused to talk to us. And I think one of the things was we wanted them to understand that we are the people of the earth. We are the people of the beginning. And we are the people of the first people before them or anyone. And just to let them try to recognize us and give us respect and at least talk to us, you know, to see our faces and who we were. Well, anyway, they wouldn't open up their doors, and they snuck out the back doors. Some of our people were in the back, but they snuck. It was a very peaceful rally. And then we sang there. Anyone that wanted to share their view and wanted to share their thoughts were able to speak. And that went on. And I was asked to do the closing prayer as one of the elders. I was called up because I kind of went with my flip-flops and I still have muddy feet because every morning I went down to the river to pray, and they had the best soil. They had white clay and, you know, a lot of healing plants and a lot of healing stuff in that water. And we all stood in it every morning to say our prayers. So I had my feet were kind of white, like the white clay. So, you know, it was just really, really an honor to say a prayer. Not only that, it really made me think. I was kind of taken by surprise, you know, that I was supposed to do the closing prayer, and I didn't even know it. But, you know, usually, you know, it was like, you know, if you're there, you're called, you do it. So I prayed for all the people, prayed for the water, and I asked I ask the Creator to activate all good medicine, all the medicine bags across the country that have been in prison, meaning in museums where they are, that were taken from my ancestors, everybody's ancestors. And I also prayed that, you know, these that we're still on display, Native Americans, we're still on display in museums across the world, and that we should be recognized, and that for the Creator to strengthen us and help us to be strong and help us to come back to the old, because the old holds the future. And so I was, it was like a prayer where, you know, asking for just being who we were, and to realize that we are all spiritual. We all need to activate every spiritual way to get through this, to not having the pipeline go through. So being in North Dakota was just really really made me think, because there was hundreds of people there from every color was there, and every walks of life was there. Like, they all had a reason, and not only that, a spiritual way. So when you came into camp, you felt that. So I did the closing prayer in asking the four directions, the four winds, to help us out, meaning that all four ways on earth, the east, south, west, and north, the people to come and help us, to come and help us stand there and defend this big monster, this big powerful machine of taking us off this, you know, just wiping us out. And because when they do that oil, that pipeline, it's going to affect not only Native people, every human being in the way, not only that, all living things. So it was kind of sad. We cried and, you know, we prayed. And after I left, the day I left, the next day, they put these ugly pit bulls after the people. And one of the little girls that always was kind of really was my little friend that would come and sit with me. And when I was in the water praying, she would assist me. And she was just a beautiful little girl. And I saw her picture on Facebook, where a dog, one of the pit bulls, they released, that supposedly got a hold of her. I haven't spoken to her mother or her, but I saw what happened there on Facebook, and people sending me what, you know, from camp, what happened. And they were attacked by the private security of this firm. And also they had pit bulls to attack the people. And they were, because they were marching, and that for the burial ground they were digging up was, and they went to protest it because the they wanted the digging to stop. And I don't know, it was just that part. I just had to pray more, and, you know, thinking about, you know, not only we as Native people are going through this bullying, but also other cities and other places are going through the same thing, and a lot of other reservations are. So it was just really something to really focus on and to hold in prayer. Are you there?
Yes. I want to ask you, you said there were people of many colors, races, shape, size, all that. And do you think it's getting a little cold there? Do you think they're going to stay and endure until this is won? You think people are going to hang in there even if it gets cold? What do you think the mood and the feelings are of the people who are there, whether they're going to stay until...
The people believe in, we're going to die for this. If it's going to be another wounded knee, we'll do it. If it's going to be another Custer's last stand, we'll do it.
Okay.
You have to really believe, and you have to really stand up for this. If you don't, you know, then if you're like, to support, like, a lot of people from the outside, or because it was very cold there, were sending in coats. And I took in a lot of buffalo meat, and I took in a lot of warm coats that was requested. And I took in, you know, just to assist. And there was a lot of people and a lot of companies donating to this cause. I took my radio station. My friend Govinda came down, and he unlatched the radio station and took it. And my radio station was used there, and is still continuing to be used. He was going to come and, you know, do ours, but I said, you know, this is really important until they get some kind of way of communicating outside. So he's staying there until they're able. The tribe is trying their best to buy a radio station and also a mobile unit to install all of this, and Govinda is going to help them out, getting someone trained and getting that going. So he's still there as of today. And I talked to Jimmy, and Jimmy's going to stay there. He said, this is a calling I think I've been waiting for. So while he was there, he painted these beautiful pictures of Sitting Bull.
Social media.
Mm-hmm. Huh?
I saw his pictures on the Facebook.
Oh, okay. So he did a lot of beautiful stuff while he was there.
So, and do you think the number of people are growing, or you think they're staying the same? Oh, yeah.
When I went down there, I think I, on the side, not the stone camp, but on the main camp, the Standing Rock camp, the main camp, I counted about 12 teepees. But by the time I left, it was like 36 teepees, I think. It could be more, not Then across the river is Stone Camp. And there's two camps on each side of the river were camps.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's encouraging. That's awesome, because it's kind of interesting that this is happening around the anniversary of 9/11, and 15 years later, we know so much truth about that event that it's disgusting what our government has been involved in, and that's why I feel like this movement at Standing Rock is going to grow. They're not considered protesters; they are protectors, and so everyone is identifying with the idea that we are all protecting the water of this land. And so I think that's why it's going to grow and keep growing, because we are disgusted after 15 years of lies and deceit and corruption by this government. And so many people are ready to stand with the natives. And it's beautiful, the pictures that are on Facebook of the unity at Standing Rock, no matter what color or race or tribe, everyone's coming together because we realize this is our life. This is our life. This government is trying to destroy our lives. They're trying to kill us, our spirits, our bodies, our minds. They're trying to destroy us. So I can only see this getting bigger and bigger, and people coming together, supporting one another, bringing the cults, making the fires, whatever we have to do to tell these companies who are funded by some of the biggest banks in the world that we are not going to put up with this anymore, and that they must go, the bulldozers must go, and they must leave the land as it is the will of the people, and it's not just the will of the Sioux tribe or the Lakota or Crow tribe, it's the will of the conscious American citizens. We are all Americans. When it comes to this issue, we are all Americans protecting our water sources. So I'm glad you're well. You're well, Peggy, and you were there to, in fact, lead the prayer, because that's so important that there be a spiritual force behind the protectors. I've been praying that everyone would indeed be protected as they stand to protect the waters. And you are being protected. You're leading the prayers. We need prayers all over the country, all over the world. I don't know if you're aware that when President Obama was in North Korea or South Korea, I forget which one, but a question was raised as to what he was going to do about Standing Rock and the protest. And his answer was that, well, I stopped the pipeline in Alaska, but I'm not sure about what's going on in Standing Rock. I'll look into it. So how are people feeling about his intervention to temporarily ask the companies to stop the bulldozing? Do you know how people are feeling about that?
Well, I think they were willing to die for it. So when he stopped it for a while, it gave them, it gave them hope, because
yes,
when they put pit bulls on you and club you and beat you, especially the women and children were attacked first.
And pepper spray.
The men were ready to. And they had no weapons. Well, when we protested, we had no weapons. We only carried our faith and in our belief in, and they just attacked. And then they, in return, said it was the natives who attacked first, It was just a lie, a cover-up, but they did it first. And if they have that mentality, either it would have been really, really bloody,
They were comparing their behavior to the 60s when they were sending in dogs against African Americans during the Civil Rights Movement. A lot of movies, videos were being compared. So it's a similar battle.
they were doing. They were just ugly people who were taught to hate other colors. They were racist. They were very racist, Vieta. They were. I came back alone from North Dakota. Jimmy had to stay. So when I was, they had the roadblock going in. People couldn't come in. They had to go the long, long ways to get in. But they would let you out, but not let you in. So all the you know, white North Dakota attitude men, police officers were at the border, you know, at the roadblock, and they let me out. And I asked one, I said, when is this other lane going to be open? And you know what that police officer said to me? Whenever they're done with their festival? Yeah. Whenever they were done with their festival. And I looked at him and I didn't answer him. I said, oh, and I went on.
Now, what is he meaning by what is he meaning when they're done with their festival? Is he calling the protectors that they're having a festival?
Mm-hmm. They were having a festival.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, they can call it what they want, but I think it's...
But they closed the road. And they said it's... they closed the roads because... And this is... Now, this is a highway. I don't give... I almost used a bad word, and I'm not supposed to do that, but this is a highway. All the Native people in North Dakota pay taxes. We pay for things. This is a road that is theirs just as anybody else that's riding on a highway, you know? And they closed it. North Dakota closed that access into the reservation to go to Standing Rock, and right out of Bismarck, North Dakota. And we have
some
to go all the people to get there would have to go all the way around, and they try to discourage people not to go in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and part of their reasoning for that, they claim, was that they were trying to control the traffic, and they didn't want too many people uncontrolled or something. But that's the logic for everything.
Yeah, but that's a North Dakota attitude. North Dakota, white North Dakota people, I don't want to be racist, but they can't think very big. Now, they have all this. You see, when you have a road, when you buy a road or you have access, you buy other acreage, you know, to the side of the road.
Yeah.
And that road was fine. It's always been a busy road. And if it's busy, and if it's not, I don't know, their reasoning is so absurd. It's just crazy. They're the ones who are causing a lot of hazard there at that blockage, and they don't call that a safety issue.
Well, you know, you're going to have resistance from authorities, as Russell Means. I've been playing a lot of Russell Means tapes and videos, and as Russell Means has stated, this is a patriarchal madness. The authoritative figures in our country have this madness about them, and they're going to resist the revolution of the people. Well, I think what's going on at Standing Rock is a revolution of sorts where all the tribes are coming together and the American people are coming together to resist the patriarchal madness, this controlling atmosphere, attitude that our government has had for many, many hundreds of years. And now, even at the local level, as you state, there's this need to control everything and everyone. That's why they're implementing these crazy ideas, laws, and procedures, blocking the roads. They got to control everything. It's like the people don't have enough sense to control their own traffic and organize this protection event. So it's natural that they're going to resist. I think that's what
right.
You have to expect. You have to expect it. But we are moving on a higher authority. This is a higher authority at work here. The people are moving in ways like never before, and whatever resistance comes up, I think you're going to have to. And I say we because I'm here praying and watching and believing that we are just going to have to keep moving forward, and we have to come up with new strategies until they pull back and stop their madness. Because that's what it is. It's still madness. And we are not going to pull back. And I'm glad to hear you say that, you know, people are not pulling back. They're getting their winter coats. They're putting up their teepees. They're making the fires. And we continue to call President Obama, send texts, we send emails. We do whatever we have to do until they back down.
Yeah, I'm going back in October it's still on, you know. If it's still going on, I'm going back in October. But it is. It needs, I don't know, the world just needs a lot of healing.
Not only in our country,
but in other countries, you know.
Yeah, and it starts with us. It starts with us. That's why I've been doing more fasting here than ever, because I feel like fasting is one of the ways we have to beat this madness. Is each individually we have to fast and pray and seek the Creator and the universe and the angels' wisdom and action. We call on the action of the Creator and His angels and our ancestors. And then we fast and we pray and we fast and we pray and things will get done, because we know that the earth needs to have freedom to breathe, not to be bulldozed and have more pipelines going in where we don't even need this oil. Some of the people there are saying we can't drink the oil. We drink the water. We're not drinking oil. We need to drink the water. So I'm hearing that over and over again on Facebook. The slang, we can't drink the oil. We need to drink the water. So we have to keep that message going.
Yeah, but crazy. The funny thing too is, I was on YouTube when I was down there, and I don't know if you've seen it, but it was on YouTube. I forget the name of I forget what it was, but one of my friends, or one of a young man, recognized who I was, and he goes, "Peggy, is that you?" Because my T-shirt said Water Warrior, and they were singing a Sundance song, a healing, one of their, it's just such a beautiful Sundance song. And then there I was with my feathers, waving them and, you know, just dancing. And that was when the tribes from Washington brought in their totem pole.
We were
just dancing in celebration, you know. They brought this totem pole. And the whole, it was a big semi, you know, flat kind of semi-trailer. And they brought it in. And then all their tribe came in, and they were singing the Honor Sundance song. And we were all just so overwhelmed. It was like, You know, the guys were really, the young men were really singing, the elders were really singing. It was just such a beautiful day that that was just a, how would I say, a blessing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was dancing and I had my feathers up, and then in the back my t-shirt said Water Warrior. Then you could just see my side of my face, and he goes, Peggy, is that you? It was so funny, and it was just a real great day that day. It gave a lot of people hope. Then the next day that happened.
Yes, and we had last Tuesday we had a guest by the name of Queen Yonazda Hill. She's her mother's name was Juanetta Lone Wolf Cox, and she was our guest telling. She's there too. She's been there for quite a while, and she's a I think she's Lakota, but she's in Pine Hills Reservation, and she's there as well. She actually introduced us to a rapper, a rap song, hashtag no DAPL. His name is Stuart James, and we played his rap song. So even it's beautiful to see the youth involved. What are you seeing as far as the young people being involved there?
Oh, the young people were really beautiful. When I got in like 3 a.m, we went to the security part, and they said you can camp anywhere you want. So, but Jimmy knew some friends, so we went to the I don't know what's the name of the camp, Red Warrior Camp, and I didn't know, Jimmy said we're welcome here. I got a hold of him on Facebook, and he said we'll just camp here. So we put up these young men that were from there, helped us put our tent up. And hold on a minute. Donna, can you be on our show in a little bit? Anyway, so they put up our our tents, and they were just the most beautiful people. Young men, man, they just really helped out. Then they were the wood getters. I mean, you know, they kept the fires going. They really assisted me. Like when I was asked, the sad part was the next morning I got up, I went down to the river and prayed with a group of ladies, and then we came back to the main center and I was having my coffee, ate a little bit. Then we protest. We walk like, I think it was 3 miles down to the border of where the machines were stopped, you know.
Uh-huh.
And we protest out. We walked all the way over there, and we did. They did some more prayers and singing. Then we came back. Then when I went back to my camp, this young lady says to me, you're supposed to get permission to stay here. And I said, oh, really? I said, I got permission over Facebook. That's what Jimmy told me. And I said, by who? And she was young. She must be in her 20s, but she was from the Cheyenne Reservation, you know, Northern Cheyenne Reservation. And her mother, I knew who she was. Her mother, I knew her mother through another project, and I'd seen her, so I knew who she was. And she's Lakota and Crow, And I think her relatives on her mother's side are from Pine Ridge area, you know, because there's Standing Rock. They're all different. It kind of soothes, you know.
Yeah.
So I said, oh, well, why? And she said, because this camp, you have to you have to know how to train to protect yourself. And I said, oh, yeah. I said, I think I already know how to do that. And she looked at me, you know. And then she said, well, I think you should move your camp because if I take this, you see, each camp has a name. And I kind of looked at it, and then I kind of thought, now, what organization is this to be talking to me like that? You know what I mean? I mean,
yeah.
Disrespect an elder, you know? So I looked at her, and then I said, well, you know, I said, okay, I'll move. That's no problem. And I said, why didn't you guys say, I said, well, I wish someone would have told us ahead of time before I even put this up. I was told when I came in from the, came first in, I could camp anywhere because that's what they told us. Every open space is available. Any place you want to camp, it's open. So I said, I just followed there, but I didn't know. And then I saw the red, I think they called themselves the Red Warrior Camp. Then I kind of thought, then I was watching people camp in there, and they were black, white, German, Swedish, and what was the other one? I don't know if they were Chinese or Japanese. I don't know, but they were, from somewhere, a different country, you know?
The yellow
because
people.
They would all speak, they would speak with an accent because I'm really nosy, you know? I got to know what my surroundings were. So I started talking to them all before, you know, while I was packing up to leave camp. And then I kind of looked at her and it just, you know, I just kind of thought, what is going on here, you know? So I went back to the main camp and where our radio was set up, I went there and I talked to Govinda, then the president of the Standing Rock came in, you know, the tribal chairman or whatever he's called, Mr. Ashambo. And I told the men there and the security if they could help me. And all these young boys ran over there and took everything off. And they came and, you know, they were so nice, the young people. And then everyone offered me a place to stay. And I said, no, I'm good. So I put my tent right next to the radio station. It was so weird. And here, I think they were scared they might be liable for me in case I kick over and die or if I get attacked or something. I don't know. I didn't know what, I couldn't really understand what their thinking was. And I didn't want to question it. I just said, okay, I'll go. You know, and it was weird. That was really weird. That's the only kind of weird thing from another tribe telling me to move. I just croaked.
That's really interesting because fear, you know, it just sounds to me more like somebody has fear about whatever is there. You know, so many issues that people have, and even like times like that when there's so much unity that one person would stand out and say something creating fear or conflict. But I'm glad you overcame it, and just look at all the people who came to your rescue. That's the beauty of it, is that even one person's fear or issue problem didn't keep you from making a transition or moving to the next spot and then doing whatever you have to do. So I'm just glad you're okay. let me see. Mama AZ is in the line. So I'm wondering, Mama AZ, did you have a question or comment for Peggy?
Are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you doing?
My spirit is just been going through some things, and Peggy, I needed that chuckle. Hey, they felt bad that their conscience had a switch and tanning their legs and carrying on for treating you with, you know, insensitivity. And so they had to, like, okay. And you're right. I guarantee you, as my dad would say, what you say, my boy, they felt bad and they had to be responsible for you if anything happened. Oh, my God, Peggy, I needed that. Well,
but, you know, I put myself there. I was willing to take the chance. And I knew nothing would happen. I mean, you know, nothing will. I mean, I had to feel a good feeling that, but the young are so, I don't know. I really don't understand why they have even in that manner, you know?
It reminds me, it's the energy, Peggy. That's what it is. It's the energy. It's like being with you in that white truck. You walk with a powerful, invisible staff. They can't see it, however they feel it. And, you know, what you were saying earlier, and I was thinking earlier with some of the things that I've heard about on that Facebook, meaning Facebook, it's like a wounded knee, a battle of Bighorn, Fetterman's camp, Chief Joseph wanting to get to Canada, and the 7th Cavalry coming in, and all of that rolled in to one. It hurts my heart. It hurts my heart that ones are so greedy and take over like that. And they have no clue. They have no clue. And then some do have a clue. On the flip side of that, they don't care. They are willing to die too, so that they could prove a point, to put up that pipe, to put in that pipeline, just like others are willing to die to keep their lands clear and pristine and safe. And that place is an energy vortex. And there are other powers out there. It's like a spiritual battle. It's like the ghost dance, you know, Ravoka, and all of that. And if you really pay attention at all of everything that is going on in certain locations, these are power points on the grid. These are energy centers, just like Standing Rock. Yeah, just like Wounded Knee, just like the Crow, Custer's Last Stand, whatever, however you want to put it. These are energy points, and there are ones that have been put in place to wreak havoc. However, they don't realize that is something much greater.
Mm-hmm.
And that is your medicine, Peggy, your prayers. Your prayers. And I am so grateful for you. To just to even know you is such a powerful chapter in my life. And you give me strength with what I'm going through right now. You know.
And you know, let me say this is coming to me right now. We as a people of this country have allowed the continued aggressive behavior of these wicked, mad corporations. And today, now in this year, is the people are saying no more. We're not going to allow this aggressive
That's
behavior
right.
to destroy our property, destroy our land. The energy, like you said, is swirling in that area, North Dakota, right now, to resist the aggressive, mad behavior of the corporate minds. And that's why this is so powerful, because the only way we're going to defeat them is to have unity and to have the power of prayers and have the mud from the river at our feet and to have the minds of people who know or are consciously aware that this behavior has to stop if we are going to live freely with clean water. It really is a heavy spiritual battle. That's why the natives don't have spears or guns or whether their weapons are the drumsticks and the drums and their voices. Their voices, that's our weapons now. Our voices and the unity, collective energy is what's going to stop it. That's why we have to build and build and build on the collective energy. More and more people need to show up, more voices, more drum beats until they can't stand it anymore. We don't need any guns. We just need to have unity and collective minds that say no more aggression, no more madness on the earth. We are protecting the earth and its water. Hallelujah.
That's right. Thank us, mm-hmm. sister. Thank us, Susie. That's
us.
Right. Yes. Thank you, Peggy. Thank you, Miss Susie.
Yeah, that was really powerful. Thank you.
Update on Scooter. We are praying for Scooter as well.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Well,
what's
mm-hmm.
the update, Peggy? If you can share. And I don't want to forget to tell you tell Jerry he's in a good place. I knew he would be doing this. He's on point. But Scooter, what's the update?
Okay. I just heard from his lawyer today. You see, there was supposed to be a hearing today at 2:00. It was canceled by the judges and by the judge, and they're going to have it, I think, the 22nd at 3:30. And they had him in maximum security, and now his father called me and said that a couple of days ago they put him in a regular place that at least allows him to go outside and, you know, and he now is allowed to be seen to visit on Thursday at a certain time. I myself, I don't know if I could go visit or not because they're allowing Gary to do the visits. But myself, they've already sort of labeled me as a very unfit mother, I guess, something like that. They have other ugly words to use, but I ignore those because, you know, it's not true, and they're just full of lies. And so
But with Scooter, when he talked to his dad the other day, I asked him, his dad called me right away, and he said, Scooter told me to tell you, like, he's holding up and that he's saying his prayers and that not to worry so much, but to rest and not to fear, because he said he was fine. And but you know, you're not, I know you're not that safe in a place like a jail and like the jail, or you know, I don't know. Anyway, so I've been praying for Scooter, and I've been doing a lot of kind of contacts here and there, and Susie's getting her packet ready. And thanks to the Creator, I got some lawyer funds now, or some money available to submit our documents.
Excellent. Yeah, that's the other battle, the aggressive corrupt behavior of our government again. It's, you know, we're at a time now where we have to keep pushing back with their aggressive lies. 9/11 is all a bunch of lies. We were told a bunch of lies, and now 15 years later, people are mad. We need to have a civil war for the lies that our government told us to get us in a war that was totally uncalled for, unfounded, but it was because of the greed and aggressive minds of the patriarchal system. So I'm so glad we're waking up. Scooter will always be in our prayers. And I'm so thank you for that report that he is telling us to be at peace. Be at peace. That's going to be the angels working with him to keep him in peace. And then he is able to tell us, be in peace, everything is well with me. Hallelujah. Another hallelujah. And he will be fine. We'll get him out of there sooner or later.
Uh-huh.
So we have quite a spiritual battle before us, at, whether it's Scooter or Standing Rock or 9/11 untruth. We have a battle to bring things back to truth and righteousness and honor of the earth and our own bodies, and get rid of all these patriarchal madmen. So it's a battle. We have to be fit for the battle. So I'm again encouraging everyone to maybe once a week to fast and pray. Just no heavy meals or something. Just let the meal, few food go, and just concentrate on our spiritual power being lifted up.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Peggy, for sharing that. I think it's important that we know with all the situations, all the conditions, all the current status of the battles that we're in and the protection stands that we are making. We're protecting Scooter, we're protecting the earth, and we're protecting everyone who joins in this movement.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very powerful movement.
Uh-huh.
So have faith, keep the faith, be strong, and trust that the universe is working on our behalf.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So anyway, I'm gonna try to get Donna on. Can you just hold a minute? I have
sure.
to walk. Their walk to her kitchen area or dining area. I don't know where they are. I'm in her office.
Okay, it's a big place.
Anyway, you're live in Donna's kitchen, and here's
okay.
Donna.
Greetings.
Hi, good evening.
No pressure.
Good evening.
We have my troubadour, vagabond, wonderful friends from Centerpol are stopping by here on their way through to their speaking engagement tomorrow.
Hallelujah.
Yes, yes, yes. And I've been working with them now for almost 10 years. For 10 years we've been working together in a couple of different capacities, both as a marketing mentor, and then I also do spiritual type work with them. So that's, we have a very right brain, left brain relationship.
That's great. Glad to hear from you.
Hi, this is Susie. Hello,
Beata.
Hey, Susie.
How are you?
To
ask, we're in Bozeman on the way to this, what do you call it? This Northwest Philanthropy Conference, where Peggy's going to be, did she tell you this? I wasn't in the room. She's going to be giving a talk on our social enterprises, our coffee shop, and how it's culturally related, and how we use youth from the community to make businesses.
Yeah.
And how they run, and what expectations to have, and how we tie in things like sustainability and learning workforce skills and business skills and career planning skills, all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Now, Ms. Susie, let me ask you this. Is it going to be a film where it can be placed up on YouTube?
I have no idea. I've never been to this conference before. We just got invited to be speakers. I know who those people are, but I've never been to this conference, so I don't know. But Donna was telling me, our marketing pro, to be sure to get some pictures that we can post up on Facebook and stuff like that.
And even if you could get a video, that would really be powerful. Just some little snippets to put on Facebook, if not the whole thing. That would really be awesome.
Yep. So I will try to do that. She talks at 9:45 tomorrow morning, and we still have to drive 3 hours to get there.
Oh, wow.
But we'll get there, and then we'll do our presentation tomorrow and see who else is there.
Excellent.
So,
your car is running good? You've had no issues?
Everything's
with
good.
It?
Nope.
Excellent.
Everything's good, and we're pulling a trailer behind because we had to come pick up something from Donna, who she made a donation to us of a beautiful queen bed. And so next time you come, you can sleep on the beautiful queen bed.
Oh, my God. Keep talking. I still got to come and get that buffalo wrap for my bed.
I know you do.
Yeah. Oh, this is great. Okay, I love you guys, man. Thank you for that. My spirit needs that right now. Thank you. Thank us.
Well, I was going to ask Donna some questions because she has a very fascinating life. And she goes around and she assists people in trying to bring out the things they already have out so that people can see them for their nonprofit organizations. So she travels. She's traveled throughout South Dakota. She's traveled through Montana. She's traveled many, many places to work with these small groups who have all this energy to do something for their community and to make positive change. And she travels around and does that. And then she has to come home, and then she has to compile all the things she promised she did for people, like brochures, newsletters, websites, Facebook, all the things that she's trying to make into a package so that people can be successful at a low cost. So I was going to ask her some questions like, I wanted to tell how she got to do this, how she got from who she is to traveling around, and to tell us a little bit about some of the experiences and the organizations she's visited, and just give us a feeling for what's out there.
Hello, this is Anna again. So my background is in marketing, and for over 30 years I've done marketing for small businesses. And then about 10 years ago, I got involved in marketing for nonprofits to help nonprofits market them, market themselves. And then through divine intervention, I think, I became introduced to an organization that focuses on Native nonprofit organizations. In west of the Rockies, west almost to the coast of, you know, to California, we work with those people. And as Susie said, what I do is when I go into their different communities or the nonprofits, I look at what their assets are that are not being seen by the world. And so, or to help them come up with social entrepreneur business ideas and then help them to promote them. So like at the Center Pole, their wonderful, well-known coffee house and gift shop, we played around with that and got it set up and drew pictures and took pictures, and kids and volunteers came and painted the inside and set up the jewelry boxes and just did all kinds of different things. And then we have another group in South Dakota that is for youth, and they had run out of money for their after school program, and so the kids got together, and this was like from 18 to 24, and they brainstormed about things that they could do to raise money to keep their programs going. So the things they came up with were beekeeping and teepee stays, and then doing medicine trail walks on their reservation. And every one of those things have started happening this year. Their first year they had 700 pounds of honey, and they're selling it online, and that's the honeylodge.org. So if people would like some wonderful Lakota honey that will help support youth programs over in South Dakota. And then also at Center Pole, a fun thing that we did, they have so many visitors that come through there, and if you've been to that country, you know how beautifully photogenic it is. And so we went through a bunch of the photos as well as photos that Susie took and stylized them and made them into gift cards. So they show the modern Crow Reservation, you know, what's happening there, and that it isn't always about the history, you know, it's what's happening now. And so we took those pictures and made gift cards that you can find on their website at thecenterpole.org. And then, of course, their wonderful coffee products. So every group has their assets and their skills and their hidden talents, whether it's art or dance or music. And so we look for those things that they can, I guess for lack of a better word, leverage so that they can help support their organizations and stay within their cultural values.
I have a question.
Yes.
Have you been to Arizona? What do you know about Phoenix? And would you consider it to gather with myself and other people? I'm only asking. I'm listening and I'm hearing things that are not being said. This is AZ.
Yeah, I love Sedona area. When I come to Phoenix, I always manage to find my way down to Sedona. It's so beautiful down there, and Flagstaff.
Mm-hmm.
Wrote a book, and years ago I did a book tour through Arizona, and it was very fun. So yes, if there was the right opportunity, I would love to come and visit with people. I travel around to other states. Not only with the nonprofit work, but I also do women's retreats, you know, working at women's retreats. So I go to different places and have just landed back here in Montana after a month of travel.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, okay, let me brainstorm. How would we get in touch with you, Sister Viata, and myself? I mean, once we, I'm thinking right now, my will's turning. If we wanted to reach you.
I have a website. If you want to look at the website, you can get a sense of the type of things that I do. And this is the women's retreat type stuff, and that is
right.
Soul Teaches, SoulTeaches.org, .com.
Thank
the rest
you.
Of my world is .org. This is my one .com that I do.
Thank you.
Yeah, my I think I have my phone number and email on there, so we could chat.
Okay, this is great. Have you done any retreats in Phoenix, in the Phoenix area?
Well, I did a very private one several years ago down, I can't think where the name of the place is, but it's a very famous resort down there, and I went with only six women, and they just had me come down as kind of their private person. And
mm-hmm.
So they got the hotel rooms, and we just worked, and we did hikes and stuff together, and then I worked with them as a small group.
Okay. This is good. This is good. Thank us. I'm thinking. Thank us. This is good.
Actually,
okay,
I believe in divine timing, and it's so funny that you're even bringing up this conversation, because today on my email there was a message from Allegiant Airlines, and they had this their cheap airfare tickets. And for it's like ridiculously low price to Phoenix. And I said, well, I don't know anybody in Phoenix. I wish I knew somebody.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. How much is it? Yes, you do.
It was real. I mean, like ridiculously, it was like $60 one way or something like that.
$39.
So for that price, I could bring Peggy and Susie with me.
Okay. Okie dokie now. All righty. Okay, I'm thinking. Keep talking.
And where are you located, Donna?
I'm in Bozeman, Montana.
Okay. Is that east of Peggy?
I'm about 3 hours west of Peggy.
Oh, okay. And where are they on their way to now?
Russell Means talks about Bozeman, sister. That's a very interesting place.
Okay.
Yeah, Montana State University is here. They have a big Native studies program here.
Okay. And where are Peggy and Susie headed from there again?
They're going to the other major college town in Montana, which is Missoula, the University of Montana.
And which direction is that from you?
That's north and west from me. They've got quite a drive ahead of them yet.
Yeah, 3 hours, she said. Okay, I'm just trying to picture where in Montana, because I had just visited Montana for the first time, and so I'm getting used to knowing where things are located. Thank you.
Yeah, you have to come to Montana many times to even begin to see one breath of it. It's such a big, beautiful state.
Yeah. All I know is from Billings to Gary Owen. That's about all I saw.
Were you able to go to the Bighorn, to the mountains, or down to the river?
No, I stayed because that was during the Crow Fair, and so we were really absorbed in Crow Fair and staying in that area.
Oh, good for you.
And then back to Billings, and then back to Gary Owens, and then back to Billings, and fly out of there. I was only there 5 days, so that wasn't long enough to see enough. So I have to come back for sure.
So was there a direct then from Billings to Phoenix?
No, I'm from Florida. I had to go to Denver.
Oh, you're in Florida.
Yeah, I had to go from Billings to Denver, and then Denver to Orlando.
I just talked to my good friend today in Panama City Beach.
What was that again?
I just talked today to my other friend in Florida in Panama City Beach.
Mm. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's about, for me, maybe 3 hours.
Yes. She said,
yeah.
I had asked her about the storms, and they had the rain, but they didn't have the drama that I was in Mississippi right before all the flooding happened there.
Yeah, that was pretty intense. I was right on the edge of that hurricane, actually.
Really?
Just a lot of wind and rain for me, which I'm grateful that's all it was, and tornado warning. That kind of thing. We had some pretty heavy rain today, too. We had tornado watches on the east coast of Florida, and the rain is just moving through the middle of central Florida right now. So this is the hurricane season, so we just pray that it doesn't get any worse than rain and wind.
My friend in Panama City was asking if I would consider coming down there, and I said, after hurricane season. And she laughed and said, well, hurricane season is May to November. That doesn't leave much.
Yeah, that's right. It's over in November, but we haven't seen a lot of hurricanes at all in the last few years. So we
yeah,
just
that's
always,
what she said.
Yeah, not that busy. It's mostly on the East Coast that they get the worst weather. But the last one came right through the Gulf, so that was kind of different. So we hope that doesn't happen again.
Yeah, so what kind of foundation is your house on? Your itty-bitty house?
It's on a trailer. You know, it's kind of like the float. You know what the float? We were riding on the float?
Yeah.
That's kind of what my house is built on.
Oh, gosh. So it's not...
Yeah.
Is it attached to that?
Yeah, they build these houses. Well, they build these, they buy these trailers, these strong trailers like that.
Like
and
a
then
flatbed.
They build the flatbed, yeah. They buy these flatbeds with wheels, and then they build on top of that. And that's a very popular industry right now.
So if a hurricane was coming and you could just hook it to something and make a way.
Yeah, but
right.
But mine's built to take up to 150-mile-hour winds. I don't think we've ever seen anything even 100-mile. We've seen winds maybe 80 at the most, maybe. But if it gets to 100, I'm out of there. I'm staying with friends.
Well, that makes me feel better because I was picturing it on something really weak, and you're talking about all these storms. But it's up off the ground, right? So
it's on wheels.
You must have felt at home riding on the flatbed then, dressed up in your outfit dress.
Yeah. Yes, of course. I was feeling right at home. You're right.
I'm going to have to put some of those pictures up on the Facebook from Crow Fair of you riding along.
Yeah,
doing your queenly wave.
That's right. I had that down. Yeah, that was
the sides of the bed were wooden paintings that Jimmy Starkey had done. And now that we took them off the flatbed, we put them up on our fence, so it kind of looks like, a carnival, I hate to say. But as you enter the second gate,
into towards Peggy's house, there are these buffaloes running on either side of the fence. It's pretty funny.
Ah, I love that. Oh, you got to take a picture of that.
The float lives on.
Yes. That's great. That's great. And Jimmy has to paint a sign that says shop here. Has he done that?
No, he hasn't done that yet. We're kind of waiting. He's busy in Standing Rock, and we can't ruin his purposeful protest. So we're just waiting patiently for when he gets back.
Oh, yeah, I think you're right. That's more important what he's doing, because that to me is his energy. Yeah, he's energized for that activity.
Yep. And did you see him? He was on the Democracy Now! And Reuters. They picked up what he said. There's a picture of him in the news from Reuters. And it's a picture of him standing. He's got a big long coat on, and he's standing on one of the big bulldozer things that were digging.
Mm-hmm.
And
really?
Yeah.
Excuse me. Can you find that on Facebook or?
Yeah, just go to
Google.
YouTube.
Yes.
Just search on Reuters Defender Eagle, because that's what his Indian name is.
Okay, what is
Reuters?
It,
you know Reuters News Service, Reuters.
Okay.
And Democracy Now.
Okay.
And put Defender Eagle.
Mm-hmm.
And you will find him.
Oh, thank you. This is good.
But you'll have to look closely to know it's him, because he's got a big long coat on, and his back is to you, but he's standing on top of a bulldozer.
This is good. I'm proud that he's there where he should be. It's funny, because I knew, I said, wow, he should be there painting all over the place, and now you tell me. Yeah, he's there.
Well, he did. He did paint all over the place. He made all the signs, and he just painted these beautiful things. And it, it really looked cheerful. I just saw these on Facebook because I didn't go with Peggy.
Wow. Okay. I'll see if somebody can. Are those posted? It's his thing. So they're all posted, right?
Yeah, well, you can also go to his Facebook page, and I think some of them are on there, too. It's James Starkey, Defender Eagle Facebook, and you'll see his Facebook page.
Thank you. This is great. Well, you give that brother the greetings, and I'm very proud of him. It makes my heart tickle.
Are you there?
I'm here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
What time do you have?
It's 9:29. So whenever you have to leave, we know you have to get on the road. We'll just end the show, but it's all on you. Just let us know.
Okay, I think I better get on the road.
Okay.
And, I'll keep you all in my prayers, and may Standing Rock still stand with all the people defending it, and say some prayers for all the four corners, four winds, and all the that people will still continue to show up, because we are fighting a big monster here, and we gotta have, we gotta win.
Yes,
Right. Yes. Thank you. May the resistance grow and grow and grow. You're right. More people coming from all four directions, and I think that's what's going
right.
to happen. We're believing
right.
that because we need everyone. The more collective energy we have, the better. They can't resist the collective energy of the people. We have to be unified. So that's what this movement is all about. You bringing all the tribes together from north, south, east, and west.
Yes,
so
right.
thank
there are many
you.
People with you, Peggy. There are many people with Standing Rock right here in Phoenix and Glendale. So, you know, you may have met some of those people and not known that they're from this area here. So
uh-huh.
prayers and
yeah.
keep up the strength and a safe journey to your destination.
Uh-huh. And good night to you all.
Safe journey, blessings, and